This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Who is designated as the middle linebacker? So Nick Barnett is that guy.
I want to go to 56.
So now when they get in that situation on a passing down, they're not giving it away because they're not only asking that on passing down.
Second and goal. Back in the end zone. Clark wide open. Touchdown. And it's an upset win for the Chicago Bears, big over the Green Bay Packers.
Football analyst for 670 The Score.
Molly, he would cook it in the steam room and the sauna, and he had a certain amount of time. He would go back and forth in between, and when it would come out, it literally was like a watermelon. So when I would grab it, it's, you know, thank goodness I had big hands that I could...
Olin Krutz with Spiegel & Holmes on 670 The Score.
This segment with Olin Krutz brought to you by Four Seasons, your trusted local experts for heating, air conditioning, plumbing, electric, and generators. He is Anthony Herrod. I'm Judson Richards in for Spiegel & Holmes on your Friday, January 2nd. Olin, before we dive into this Bears team, what's coming Sunday and maybe perhaps after that, congratulations to your son, to Illinois. A big win, a thrilling win in Music City Bowl. First time Illinois back-to-back nine-win seasons, Olin. You had to, your son had to be thrilled to see season they put together.
Yeah, my two sons, both my sons play on the team there at Illinois and at the Music City Bowl versus Tennessee. Tennessee obviously gave them a big challenge, and it's the first time I think Brett Bielema is the first coach to win back-to-back bowl games after beating South Carolina last year, also in the Citrus Bowl. So the Illinois program moving in the right direction. They went out there and had a good performance. Nashville, a great city. I'm sure maybe you guys have visited it, but had a lot of fun there at the Music City Bowl. Me and my family got to go down there and watch that game. And Illinois just really, Josh Whitman, the AD, they've done a nice job. Ant knows that and is gets to meet with them with the Big Ten, do games also. So Illinois doing a good job, two back-to-back bowl wins. Really fun for that program, and we really did enjoy ourselves down there. Appreciate you mentioning that.
Yeah, man, and just to watch where, you know, got the comparison, obviously, where Indiana and Kurt Cignetti, where it's like they just microwave to the moon and they might win the national championship in 2 years. But what Brett Bielema is doing in Champaign is kind of the standard way to build a program, and it might take a few years, but it feels like something special, especially with your sons and Luke Altmaier and guys who may be taking some lumps but have this way to punctuate the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, Big Ant, I'd be interested, you know, eventually one day we got to sit down and talk about how much the 6 year has affected college football, right? And these players who got, and this is the year it all ends. And no one really seems to mention that much, right? That all the quarterbacks who got an extra year and all these kids who got to play next year. If you look at Indiana's offensive line, a lot of 6 year guys on that unit, right? And then, of course, they go get the quarterback from California, Mendoza, who ends up being the best quarterback in the NFL. It's really changed the landscape of college football, but it's about to change again. I wonder if the NCAA would ever consider just giving everybody 6 years, since it's helped so many kids along the way. But this is the year that it ends, something I don't hear people mentioning a lot of, and something that Kurt Cignetti has obviously benefited from.
That's a great observation. I know we're transitioning some Bears convo, but even like the Northwestern coach, Judson, David Braun, his case is like, if we're going to have five potential years, don't worry about the redshirt. Just give everybody 5 years to play 5 years. And whatever happens, injuries or anything else, let's just do that. So there's like, you know, some uniformity in it, as opposed to applying for this year, seventh year tight end over here and all this other stuff.
Who can keep up?
Even the New Orleans quarterback, I think he's 26, right? I mean,
right.
I think his name slips me now, but he played a long time and really helped him develop his career, developed his game, got to go to school, got to learn a lot. So it'd be interesting to see what the NCAA finally decides to do with all these rules. And like you said, I've heard about this 5 for 5 and all this stuff in the courts and going through all that process. So we'll see where it ends up. But it's really made football interesting and changed a lot of the landscape.
Oh, and speaking of changing landscape, it is changed in Chicago for the Bears. I can, you know, a lot of these post-game shows with you and Patrick and Molly, you can legitimately hear the joy in your voices. Well, probably because six of those wins, it felt near impossible. But to also get to flip the script and be covering an 11-5 win team, a chance to get 12 wins on Sunday. The offensive line, we know how much they invested in free agency. It doesn't mean it's immediately going to work. I mean, how impressive is it to watch what the Bears did in the offseason and now see the run game where it is, really the identity of this Bears team?
Yeah, and it didn't immediately work, right? If you talk about the first two games of the season against Minnesota and Detroit, and they had to get all the way to the bye week. And in the bye week after the Raiders game, they said, look, we got to fix the run game and we got to fix stopping the run. And they really went into their bye week. And I thought to myself, I don't know what you guys thought, but I wondered, how do you fix a run game and a run defense without the pads, without the practices that they have nowadays, with the way they've changed the rules with the new collective bargaining agreement? But they did, man. And this offensive line has really gelled, and Dahlman and Jonah Jackson and Darnell Wright and Joe Tooney has been fun to watch. And, you know, they started with Braxton Jones. They're a left tackle. They went to Theo Benedict, and now they're on to Ozzie Trapillo. But that offensive line, man, Coach Dan Rochard's done a really nice job getting those guys to work together. I thought early in the year they had some troubles with their combo blocks, but I mean, two old linemen working together at the line of scrimmage, up to the second level, get to the linebacker, get on the right guy. Didn't look like the receivers knew who to block sometimes, who the old line was blocking. But now, man, with Coach Eric Bieniemy and Coach Ben Johnson and Coach Dan Roschar and Gray and all the tight end coach and all these guys, this run game, guys, you turn the film on, it is fun to watch. It is humming, man. I mean, these guys know who to be on, who to block, how to get movement. Last game, Darnell Wright and Jonah Jackson, man, some of the movement they got, some of the blocks they made, I was really enjoying watching that game. Drew Dahlman goes to his first Pro Bowl. Joe Tooney, I mean, the next time I see him have bad technique on film will be the first time. And the guy's unbelievable to watch on film. Swift's run, obviously, in that game, made a few guys miss, scored a touchdown. Manungai, man, if you don't like to watch him run the football, you just don't like football, right? That kid comes downhill. He's going to try to break your helmet, try to run over DB. Those guys, I know, Big Ant, they're like tightening their shoulder pads when Manungai comes in the game because they know the action is about to start. So really fun to watch these guys grow together. Credit Ryan Poles putting this group together, going out, getting Jonah Jackson, getting Tooney, signing Dahlman. Darnell Wright's continued to develop. Getting the one position I questioned was left tackle. Why wouldn't you go get a left tackle? But it's worked out for them. Ben Johnson doing a nice job chipping over there, helping the left tackle a lot. Offense has really been fun to watch grow, the O-line grow together, and the run game on film. One of the funnest things I do all week is turn the Bears film on and watch their run game versus whoever they play against.
Bears great, future Pro Football Hall of Famer Olin Kreutz, our guest here on Spiegel & Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You can check out on twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score as well if you want to see him there. And I can kind of hear defenders in my mind's eye right now. Like, oh, 25's in the game, you know, just letting them know to your point that they got to strap it up a little bit when Manungai's in. And hand up for me, just thinking about going back to the offseason, and I was surprised that the Bears didn't find some other way to invest in an additional running back. And not because I didn't think DeAndre Swift was talented. I think he's shown throughout his entire career he was a talented back. But he's always struck me as more of a finesse back. And so I'm like, all right, so how do you pair a guy with him? I've really been impressed, even more so than I thought, with what we've seen from DeAndre Swift. There's a seemingly an enhanced detail to the way he's running, the footwork and timing, and a physicality that I don't think we've necessarily seen before from him. It feels like it pairs well with this Bears run scheme. What have you seen from Swift?
Yeah, that is a great point by you, because DeAndre Swift, you can just kind of gloss over the year that he's had, right? And I think those guys, like, you know, you've been in a room with guys where, like, your teammate eventually starts to push you a little bit, right? It's like, okay, he's going to run downhill like that. I'm going to feed off of that too and run downhill. We've all known Swift over the years to be the kind of back, catch the ball in space, make a guy miss. You get him a lot of room. He'll make a guy miss. He'll go a long way, say on screens or swing passes or tosses out of the backfield. But like you're saying, this year, really fun watching him square his shoulders up, get downhill, hit the hole hard, right? And I think you got to tip your cap a little bit to running back coach Eric Bieniemy, right, and the way he coaches that room, the way he harps on details, the way he wants the ball run. All these guys, I think, are they say there's truth tellers up there. And I think they turn the film on and they tell the running back, like, look, man, you got to hit the hole here or we'll get the young running back in. But to Swift's credit, he didn't take that personally. He didn't say, oh, no, that's not the way I run the ball. He went out there and he started running the ball like that, getting downhill, getting his shoulder square, running through tackles, running guys over, driving his legs for extra yards. He's been fun to watch, too, in that backfield. And that's why I say, man, one of the funnest things I do in the beginning of the week is turn on that All-22 from NFL.com and watch the Bears run game, because tight ends, running backs, wide receivers, offensive line to quarterback, under center, his game has grown so much. His details in handing the ball off, selling the boot when he doesn't have the boot, or running the boot and threatening the defense, getting the safeties out of the box. Right now, the way that game's all working together, these teams, you know, they come in. First thing the defense coordinator puts up on that board Wednesday morning, right? First thing he says, guys, we got to stop these guys' run game or it's going to be a long day for all of us.
Olin, Caleb Williams has changed a little bit the way I think of quote-unquote bear weather, right? I used to think of it as such a defensive advantage. Then I watched that Cleveland Browns game. We know the arm strength of Caleb Williams. Does this team have a real offensive advantage in bear weather?
Yes. Yeah. I think because, look, you're talking about his arm strength. When I played in 2010 against Tom Brady, you guys can go back and look at it, and we were in the locker room, and it was a blizzard. And we were like, hey, man, 30-mile-per-hour winds, snow. There's no way the offense can throw the ball to you. Well, guess what? I think Tom threw for like 4 touchdowns and 300-plus yards, right? So, the bear weather with a good quarterback, yes, and he gets to practice in it, and he's not worried about it. I mean, you guys, I don't have to tell you guys and the listener, you've seen the throws he's made the last couple of weeks, but this has been going on for a while now, that, you know, the tempo he puts on the ball, the way he throws the football. But now with the deep pass, has been touched the last couple of weeks with his arm strength, with the things he does out of pocket. And I don't have to tell you guys, you guys hear defensive coordinators, head coaches go to the podium week after week and rave about Caleb Williams' athleticism, gets out of the pocket, he can attack the field from anywhere on the football field. I mean, last week he rode out and hit Luther Burden rolling to his left and just made it look normal, but it was about a 30, 40-yard run where he had to flip his hips and sling his sidearm right to Luther Burden. And it's just like, man, as a defender, how do you deal with that, right? Okay, well, I can't even rush. I just got to keep him in the pocket. Our whole defense is in trouble. So, yes, when you have, you know, strong winds at Soldier Field, which is known to get that way, you know, guys talk about Kyro's kick, right, against the Packers, right? Unbelievable to make that kick in that weather. But those kind of things does give you an advantage when a quarterback has an arm like that where the elements can't affect him or he can overcome the elements.
You play with so many quarterbacks, snap to so many of them, and I would imagine that few of them, if any, were as physically gifted as Jay Cutler. The personality of Caleb and how that might develop or any concerns that were there, that was such a big part of the storyline from the offseason coming into this year, from kind of various people with books and articles and everything else. For you, when you look at what Caleb has shown both on the field and just the public perception of him, what do you see just as a leader, as a guy who's developing, and whether or not that's the type of guy you could rally around?
Definitely, definitely the type of guy you can rally around, because what you see when you turn the film on is, you remember early in the year we talked about the cadence problems, right? And the guys in motion, I remember even they fumbled a jet sweep in preseason, right? Jet sweep, I mean, the receiver coming across, takes timing to get the ball from the center, hand it off to the receiver. All those kind of things fall in the quarterback's laps. He has got so much better at doing all that. And I'm watching him work on his details. I talked about a little bit earlier how much better he got under center. And it looks like even sometimes in the pocket, right? He's getting the ball out. He's not taking sacks. He's becoming a multiplier, right? But we talk about when you take a guy number one in the draft, you want it to be a multiplier. What do I mean by multiplier? You want it to make his teammates better, right? Think about the touchdown pass to against the Green Bay Packers in overtime, right? To DJ Moore. Durham Smythe gets beat. Caleb, off of 1 foot, throws a touchdown pass. He just made Durham Smith better, right? And then this past week, I think a touchdown pass to Luther Burden in the first quarter. Joe Tooney beat, right? And the guy is hitting Caleb, and Caleb gets the ball out and hits it for a touchdown. He's making guys around him better. He's making the coaching staff better. That's the kind of guy you can rally around. As you know better than anybody, Big Ant, People make too much of personalities and all these things in a locker room. Do your job, work on the details, help everybody win football games. Win, and then all of a sudden, it's funny when there's winning, a lot of winning going on, the locker room all gets along. It's the strangest thing, right? And then when you're losing, everyone hates each other, right, which is just all part of football, right? So people make too much out of, did you like the guy? Did you like his personality? What didn't you like about him? The only kind of guys I didn't like in the locker room were the guys who weren't working on their craft, trying to get better every day, working on the details, worried about the team. How can we win the football game? And I'll be honest with you, man, when I watch Caleb's film and when you listen to him at the podium, he is doing those things right now. He is working on his game. He is taking Ben Johnson's challenge to get better under center, to control the defense. Look at the snap count, post in Loveland, right? The Aaron Rodgers play, right? Those are things that they've been working on. That's detailed, man. Look, the guy jumped off sides, take a shot to the end zone, extend the play. Those kind of little things, making everybody better. Those are the kind of guys you can buy into when you're on a football team.
Hey, listen to Olin Kreutz with Mully and Patrick Manley on the local Ford Dealers pregame show Sunday from 12 to 3:25. Then immediately after the game, the guys will have instant reaction on their football postgame show presented by Timber Tank Decking and Railing and Arturo Tire. All of it can be heard on the Score and the free Odyssey app. Olin, next year, the Ben Johnson messaging will not be new. The good, better, best will not be new. Have you seen real evidence that this is sustainable?
Yes, I have. I've seen it just in his play calling, right? The guy, I don't know where you guys would rank him. I'd rank him one or two, or at least top three in the league at calling plays. And then he showed this year, like we talk a lot about quarterbacks processing information, right? The quarterback has to process information in the pocket within like a five, you know, even shorter, maybe 5 to 7 second window. When you're the head coach and the play caller, you have to have the ability to process information on the spot while the game is changing, while things are going on in the football game, game management, time management, listen to the guy give you the stats. I mean, that seems easy, man, when you're someone like me and you pause the film and you say, well, I think what they should have done here is this, right? But when you're on the sideline and you got to make those decisions, then that's when you're watching a head coach. Is he the guy? I will tell you this, that is repeatable when you watch Ben Johnson. The fact that he can call plays against the San Francisco 49ers, handle the game management, handle the time management on defense. Dennis Allen will be here next year. Now, obviously, the biggest thing you worry about is losing guys like Al Harris. Will the Chiefs come and get Eric Bieniemy to get him, make him his OC? You worry about losing coaches, right? We talk about they play the Lions this week. And you talk about, okay, they lost Ben Johnson. But not only that, guys, they lost 5 of the 8 coaches on staff last year, right? They lost Antoine Randall. They lost TJ Barrett, who's all here coaching the Bears. The Jets OC is from the Lions, right? The Jets offensive line coach is from the Lions. So when you start losing coaches like that, things change. That's what you worry about when you have success. You worry about losing good people in your building. But as far as Ben Johnson being the head coach of the Bears, your offensive system not changing, him calling plays every year here for you, that's repeatable. That's exciting. The quarterback's ability to throw the big ball in the big moment is repeatable. Those are the two things, I think, if you guys would argue with anybody, those are the two things that teams need to continue to compete for playoff spots.
Olin, this Bears defense that has taken the ball away at a rate that no one else in football has and is paired with this offense that protects it better than anyone has as well. I'm a lot of it is just me being hopeful, but I do feel like there's a world where Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards just being on the field next to each other more consistently, Jalen Johnson being healthy and on the field more consistently, we see this defense get better, closing out the regular season and into the playoffs. Do you see a world where you get more stops from this D?
You know, it's interesting. I went back to look because, you know, they talked about after the bye week, you know, stopping the run was a big thing, right? That has reared its head again, right? And, you know, after week 3, Grady Jarrett got hurt and they gave Jonathan Ford, who the Packers just signed. And, you know, Jonathan Ford obviously is not the best nose guard in the NFL, but he's not the big body out there, right? And he helped with stopping the run. And then Dio goes down, right? So now you have Austin Booker starting at 1D and Austin Booker doing a nice job, but playing the run, he can still work on a little bit, right? And then, you know, they got Dominique Robinson and they got Tyron Shoinka, who went out last week with a concussion. But when they did that, they put Billings at nose and they put Javon Dexter at 3 technique and they brought Jonathan Ford in at nose and then they put Williams in there at 3 technique. And I thought that man, I was surprised when they started not suiting up Jonathan Ford, and then they cut him, right? And then they're just like, okay, where is the run stuffers is what I'm starting to worry about, right? And obviously T.J. Edwards, and I'm like you, I see Tremaine Edmonds and T.J. Edwards, and of course a little bit rusty with the football they haven't played this year with the injuries. But also, I don't have to tell you this, Big Ang, it's hard to be an effective linebacker when the D-line is in your lap, right? When guys are getting moved off the ball. And right now they can get, you know, if Billings goes out of the game, man, you just say the names, right? And they get really small in there on the defensive line, right? If Montez Sweat, when he is resting, their defensive ends is Dominique Robinson, Austin Booker, and Tyron Shoyinka. And I'm telling you right now, I'm an offensive lineman. I would love to block those guys in the run game, right? I'd love to get after them and get downhill. So if I see those two guys and Grady Jarrett at three technique, I'm calling a run, right? I'm going to call the run and see if they can stop the run inside there. So I'm as interested as you is to see how they stop the run, because it looked like last week Coach Allen had to overextend himself a little bit to help out the defensive line. They started stunting. They started moving a little more, started blitzing. They like to run nickel a lot with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. They tried to go to Noah Sewell last week because they were too small in that package. But Noah Sewell hopefully gets healthy quickly. A tough football player, smart. Hate to see him get hurt like that, man. But they are looking for answers there, just like you're asking me right now. And I'll be honest with you, turn the film on the last 2 weeks. I don't know where their answers come from, because it just guys are going to have to be a little more stout against the run. You can talk about this after I get off. They got to stop swimming around blocks, Big Ant. You see it on film. They got to hold the point of attack. You know, Montez Sweat on the 5-yard touchdown run early in the game. You can't get reached by the right tackle, right? You can't get blocked one-on-one if you're Montez Sweat for the Chicago Bears. And that's asking a lot out of him, because obviously the 49ers right tackle is a good football player. But that's just what we need out of him right now, man. Just not a lot of action out of that defensive line, dominating in the run game. Billings making some plays, but when he does go out for his rest, man, that nose guard position, interesting to me how they are going to fix where they can stop the run right now.
Mm-hmm. Olin, the good news is we will hear at least two more post-game shows from you, pre and post, and hopefully even more than that starting at noon on Sunday. Thanks, Olin.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Ope.
All right, there he is, Olin Kreutz. By the way, the football men will continue on the show. Well, we have one right here in Anthony Hare and Judson Richards with you. I am not. You are. We are in for Spiegel and Holmes. Herm Edwards will join us coming up in just about 30 minutes as well. Let's talk a little bit more.
One of the things I want to get to when we get to Herm, by the way, just to forecast a little bit, he coached, and I called some Arizona State games when Jaden Daniels was his quarterback back then. And so, like, quarterback development and the arc of young guys versus old guys, the amount of snaps Jaden got in college, that's one of the many things we'll get to pick Herm's brain about.
Yeah, and Brian Urlacher ain't walking through that door.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if he walked through this door, because then we could talk to him about it. Yeah. You know, Mike Singletary walking through that door. Like, you know, let's get back to a little bit of what Owen was talking about defensively, where simply Dennis Allen is going to have to get more of the team, more of the defense that he has. We'll get to that. Also, the Ben Johnson and sustainability of what we've seen from this team. How confident are you that they're ready to hold on to the North?
And I do think part of this, what we're seeing in the defensive front, is by design. It's not working consistently, though, so I'll be able to describe what I mean by that. Not exactly that, but there's necessity in the way they're doing certain things up front.
All right, we'll get to that. And you want to react to anything Olin said, let's do it. 312-644-6767. Anthony Herron, Judson Richards in for Spiegel and Holmes on a Friday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going home.
Charles Tillman. Charles, thanks for being on the show.
Y'all ready for me to go?
No, not.
You didn't take no calls or nothing?
Well, if you want to hang on for a minute, we'll take a break and we'll come back and take some calls.
Is it a media minute or is it like a black person minute?
it's a black person minute because a black person drives this show.
Afternoons on the Score.
Hey, speaking of, you can join the Score in Circus Sports Illinois next Friday, January 9th at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. Speak on Holmes will be live there from 2 to 6 p.m. for Chicago Football Playoff Taco. That sounds good. Plus, you can win Chicago sports tickets from Circus Sports Illinois. That's next Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. It's all brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. It is a Friday. It is January 2nd. He is Anthony Hare, and I am Judson Richards with you until 6 o'clock this evening. Cannot wait to talk to Herm Edwards coming up at 5 o'clock. There was a quote this week that reminded us a little bit of Herm Edwards' famous quote back in 2002, I believe, as the Jets head coach. So maybe we'll talk to Herm a little bit about that coming up at 5 o'clock this evening.
Yeah, that'd be a good time.
Good stuff with Olin there.
Right.
And could we dive a little bit deeper into defensively if Bears fans are panicking a little bit about what they could see come playoff time, and even Sunday against the Detroit Lions. You know, the Lions are so weird because if you just looked at stats and rankings, you'd be like, oh, they're fine without Ben Johnson.
I feel like that's a drop, by the way. The Lions are so weird. Like, I just so think that's worthy of living on at some point.
They're so weird. I'm just, I'm glad I didn't say the Detroit Tigers. I've had the Tigers on the brain for some reason.
Okay.
You know, they've lost three in a row. They've dropped 4 of 5. They've dropped 7 of their last 11. But they are 6th in yards per game. They're 5th in passing. They're 3rd in points scored at 28.9 points per game. Listen to 5 minutes of Detroit sports talk, and they need to fire everybody, and the sky is falling. You know, so it's like it's smoke and mirrors if you dive a little bit deeper into their numbers.
Well, it's a different standard, right? Where, like, right now, we're in the age of innocence for this version of the Chicago Bears, because it's year one for Ben Johnson.
The age of innocence. Yes. I like
and
that.
There was hope coming into this season, but
not this much.
I would say none of us, certainly most of us, didn't predict this degree of success in Ben's first season. And now here we are, where they've locked up the division with a regular season game to go, and Caleb does look like a guy who is at least on his path to, if not already, being a franchise quarterback, Justin.
Despite the contract, first or second.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so this is an enhanced degree of success versus what we expected this year. Whereas in Detroit, they know what it's like to win divisions. They know what it's like to advance in the playoffs. But now this is a step back. And it's a different feeling. It's a different vibe. It's a different standard. It's why, I mean, Eagles fans are Eagles fans, but in Philadelphia, where, you know, like, every season should be a Super Bowl-worthy conversation, and they have that malaise just beyond the midpoint of the season, yeah, sky's falling there. In Chicago, that's going to be the case next season. Right now, yes, the expectations are enhanced right now because we know the Bears are going to host a playoff game, and we're seeing a version of the Bears that seems like they could be of championship caliber. If this, yeah, but that. But there's a world where, like, all right, maybe they can make a run for something real special here, as opposed to just, oh, can they peak at the playoffs? Wait a minute. Can they make the playoffs?
Can they get one?
Yeah, they got a shot to do something when they get there. So the standard is different for this season. The hope is more legitimate this year now than it would have been 2 months ago. But that being said, we're still on an enjoyable ride. A year from now, the ride will be less enjoyable because it won't be this surprise.
Don't say that. I'd like.
That's just the world we live in, man. You know how this rolls.
I'd like to think that world may be a little bit more enjoyable because they'll have another off season to address this defense. And, you know, it was a very offensive heavy draft.
Yeah, sure. But then, like, you know,
although
Drew
we
Dahlman,
never talk about Shamar Turner.
Drew Dahlman might miss a month because he's banged up, you know, like,
that's
injuries
true.
May mount, or just this good division may be healthier in Green Bay and in Detroit, and J.J. McCarthy may develop. So the Bears could be a better team next season than this, but not have the division locked up with a week to go. Like, this is nothing about this is easy or guaranteed. Joe Burrow hasn't made a Super Bowl since that, what, year two run that he had?
Yeah.
So that's a part of where the idea of trying to seize this moment, I'm with it and I get it. I'm just, for me, realistically, I'm not as on edge about the results of this year because it's more than I bargained for, more than I expected. Whereas next year, to me, there will be more of a championship standard that I would expect the team to be held to. Whereas right now, it feels more like they're kind of ahead of the curve.
How does Dennis Allen squeeze more out of this defense to try to give us, you know, the most competitive game possible, or to, you know, to make it a little bit firmer from what we're all so concerned about, from what we saw, not only against the 49ers, but, you know, this Bears team, I believe they give up the most big plays, passing touchdowns in the NFL. It's how can Dennis Allen be better? How can he get more out of his team, which, as we talked about in the previous break, none of the greats that we've watched from this Bears defense are walking through that door. Like, this is pretty much who he's got. And I'm not counting on Kyler Gordon either.
And the unfortunate thing is, like, there's teams that rush the quarterback at a really high level that don't defend the run well. And there's teams that defend the run really well, but you've got these big pluggers up front in your front seven that don't penetrate, don't have the swivel in the hips to really get creases and get into the backfield. So maybe you got guys who can rush the quarterback that don't hit the run, hit the blocks in the run really well, and vice versa. The Bears right now aren't great in either phase. Now, there was a stretch during the season, like Olin was mentioning, coming out of the bye, where the run defense was fortified more so, and they could at least get the opponent into some more predictable downs and distances to create some havoc, to generate some takeaways, and get off the field. They were an excellent third down defense for a stretch of the season.
And Tremaine Edmonds was flying all over the field.
All over the place. His length and athleticism and his sense for the game within this Dennis Allen system really seemed to suit him. To me, it was definitely the best season Tremaine Edmonds had been in the midst of anytime he's been with the Bears, perhaps his entire career. And I haven't evaluated every season of his career, of course, in Buffalo. Prior to this, is in the detail that I have with this one. But that being said, one adjustment with some of the bodies that have been out of the lineup here without Shamar Turner, who they began playing at defensive end, and that was a part of the wrinkle that was helping to enhance their run defense, because you had another big formidable body that could rotate in and set a firm edge for you.
Dio Dangbo.
Without Dio Dangbo, and I know the sack numbers, because you get a big paycheck as a defensive end, everybody tends to assume sack. And he's never been a sack artist. I think he's got like an 8-sack season in his career somewhere. But he's been a guy who's been able to be a really firm edge defender against the run. And that's what Dennis Allen likes in his scheme. And then when you move him inside over the offensive guard, it's frankly where more of his pass rush success came with the Colts than being a guy who could maybe speed rush the edge. So no Dio, no Turner. Now you get Austin Booker in the lineup more consistently at defensive end. And between Booker and Williams, who rotates in both inside and outside, those are a couple of guys who I've seen this going on for weeks now, where I'm just going to assume they've been allowed to, as opposed to when I use the term hit blocks, where as a defensive lineman, you come out of your stance and you're trying to get into a guy's pads. Actually, just as a shameless plug, what I was doing across the street before I came here, a Friday show, Bears Blitz, that I do with Luke Canales and Cassie Carlson at Fox 32. That'll be on a couple hours from now. DJ Reader on the interior of Detroit's defense, and he's not a guy who's viewed as one of the top interior defensive linemen in the sport. But, man, I love watching this film because he's so technically sound. Short, sharp steps out of his stance with pad level and hand placement, getting into the opposing offensive lineman, locks him out, sets his gap, but then can get off that block with violence to go make a play as well. So he's not a sack artist, but man, he's really technically and fundamentally sound against the run. He gets into blocks and can control them. The Bears don't have as many guys right now. Like Andrew Billings, he can control a block. The line of scrimmage moves advantage Big Bill when he's in the lineup. Grady Jarrett has gotten to a point where he looks much healthier now than he did earlier in the season. But he's not a mammoth defensive tackle, but he can anchor now in a way that he was just getting run out the club earlier in the season. If he'd get a double team, Grady Jarrett was moving backwards. There's technical aspects of how you try to hit a double team where you're kind of getting into one block, getting a guy turned, and so you're not meeting force with force against both blockers. One guy kind of peels off if you really fundamentally can hit it well. Grady's doing that better, but they don't have a guy who can overwhelm a blocker with force in the way that Andrew Billings does. So him in the lineup, he does that great. Some of the younger guys, some of the smaller bodies who are a bigger part of the rotation now, I've seen for a few weeks now where it looks like Austin Booker, he'll quickly get into a blocker, but then to the point Olin was making, I was talking about this a couple of weeks ago, where they seem to be allowing him just really, I would assume just so he can hold up throughout a game, to not stay on that block, to kind of get into a block quickly and get rid of that blocker just so he's available in the backfield as opposed to getting stuck on that blocker. And they do a lot more movement stunts on rundowns up front now than they were earlier in the season. Just because they kind of have to sort of get by. So you either scheme them into some penetration to make a play, or you say, you know what, we're going to have to try to hold up on these blocks. And they don't have guys other than Andrew Billings who really consistently hit blocks effectively enough to be an effective front seven, especially that D-line.
We're going to get some college football talk in just a minute, Big M. But we do want to do this. Be the sixth and seventh callers and win a pair of tickets to Brian Regan at the Chicago Theater. That'll be on January 17th. Here's the number to dial, 312-540-0670. You are listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday, presented by your local Ford dealers and Potawatomi Casino Hotel. You want to respond to any of that? Let's do so. A reminder as well, Herm Edwards will join us, the great Herm Edwards, coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon. But up next, is the college football playoff more wide open than it's ever been? And is it Indiana's to take? We'll talk a little college football coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We just see Brass, he's taking it.
Third and one, looking to throw. Launching to the end zone. Surratt's out there. Touchdown, Hoosiers. Pouring it on.
Well, Indiana wins again. When does Indiana football not win? When has that sentence ever been uttered? He is Anthony Hare, and I am Judson Richards. We're in for Spiegel and Holmes. Coming up in about 10 minutes, the great Herm Edwards will talk Bears football. We'll dive into some playoff scenarios with him as well. But Big Ant, I know how much you cover college football, how much you cover the Big Ten. It's been a wild ride, the state of college football. It's probably, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but Indiana football may be one of the greatest sports stories we've seen in recent years, from the losingest program, right, in college football history. They just climbed out of that this season. To now be
just got overtaken by Northwestern.
Well, they've got Chip Kelly now.
Exactly, right.
Running that offense, so that'll change it. But I mean, Indiana feels like the runaway favorite to be national championship, right?
I mean, the field, once you got to the final eight, because now we're in the semifinals. You have Oregon and Indiana meet. They'll have a rematch in the Peach Bowl, and then the Fiesta Bowl will have Ole Miss and Miami. And Indiana certainly is the team that looks the most complete. They look the most undaunted is the phrase that their head coach, Kurt Cignetti, just in his second season, that's kind of their rallying cry, where he wants them to be unaffected by anything going on. And Urban Meyer, when I had him on SiriusXM a couple of weeks ago, and he had made the statement on Fox's Big Noon Kickoff that he felt like this was what Kurt Cignetti and Indiana have done is the greatest turnaround in college football history. And
Urban Meyer said that?
Yeah, and the pushback I had for Urban was like, well, I mean, what about like Gary Barnett and Northwestern? Like Northwestern was just dormant, and then Gary Barnett showed up, and eventually they make a Rose Bowl. Like Northwestern making the Rose Bowl in 95, never seen anything like that. Like Dennis Green was the Big Ten Coach of the Year with a losing record, but just because he won a few games at Northwestern. So there are programs who've been worse off who've done big things. And Indiana, most overall losses, but they were in the top 10 a few seasons ago when the previous coach, Tom Allen, was there. They made bowls. But the point Urban Meyer was making, I think, is the more direct and specific point, is as quickly as it's happened. Kurt Cignetti, year one in Bloomington, making the college football playoff. Now year two, number one team in the country, program history, and blowing the doors off the Alabama Crimson Tide in the Rose Bowl. So, yes, they're the team, and they're doing it with, yes, the transfer portal is a huge part of it. They have an NIL budget, but it doesn't rival what we're seeing with Miami or with Oregon, who they're going to rematch with again, who they beat in the regular season in Big Ten conference play. But there's an efficiency to everything they do on the field that is just awe-inspiring. We don't see this in college football, especially with all these young people, to have them on point and on task in as many ways as what Indiana's been able to pull off.
Is college football more balanced or more broken?
I certainly believe it's more balanced. Now, the headlines for things where the sport is evolving for like compensation of athletes and for the transfer portal where guys are switching from team to team every year and conference expansion and coaching buyouts. There's a lot that is very easy to be frustrated by. But then you also juxtapose that with the product on the field. What we're seeing from quarterback play where so many different teams and conferences have quarterbacks, the line of scrimmage. Like the reason Miami beat Ohio State, because they were better on the line of scrimmage. The reason Oregon blew out Texas Tech, and the reason Indiana outmuscled Alabama, the line of scrimmage, what they were doing there. And there's so much depth throughout the sport, so much talent everywhere. And that's a part of what the transfer portal has allowed, where a lot of teams can look at it and say, well, oh, okay, you're not locked in for 4 or 5 years with that one spot where you're going to lose a year of eligibility. Hit the portal, come join us. Let's get an opportunity to see if you can maximize this 4 years of eligibility that you have. So the sport is just much deeper now with quality teams who can win it. So I don't think anybody, you know, out of this Final Four, Indiana, Oregon, Miami, Ole Miss, whoever wins a national championship, they're not going to go down as one of the all-time great teams. Like when, what was it, back in 2002, Miami beat Ohio State, and there was like 50 players on the field who ended up going on to NFL right. success. That's not going to be the case, whoever meets in the national championship game here. But to your point, the story of Indiana will stand out amongst anyone else.
So they would be considered one of the greatest teams just because they don't have enough future NFL talent, right?
Right.
Because those guys are already getting paid to go to
other
places.
Certainly not one of the most talented rosters. But from a team perspective, and this is the case I was kind of making, not kind of, I was very, you know, resoundingly making to people last year who had an issue with Indiana making the college football playoff, because their regular season wins weren't as impressive. But as a team, because football is not a relay race. So you can say, I'm going to compare Indiana with South Carolina or Alabama or whoever else somebody thought should have made the playoff instead of them in 2024. You want to tell me the Hoosiers don't have the same, quite the same caliber of athlete as some of the other teams? Sure. But they showed up and they dominated every single week that they were out there. And that, to me, showed what a great team they were last year. And then they lost a double-digit game to Notre Dame, and people saw that as a way to try to sort of discredit what Indiana was that year. But then it ignored all the other blowouts that took place that were even more lopsided in the college football playoff. And they're doing the same thing with the group of five or group of six teams right now, trying to discredit them with a blowout. I don't hear anybody discrediting Alabama's playoff resume where they lost by 35 points to Indiana or Texas Tech getting shut out by Oregon. We just look for things that kind of suit our little fiefdom that we want to be a part of and say, okay, well, here's my flag I'm going to carry. And, you know, I think that the frustrations off the field, because so much is playing out in court and in headlines as opposed to the action on the field. So it feels different. And it's still weird for some people with all the evolution that's been there in recent seasons. But I'm certainly, and, you know, we haven't interacted that much over the couple of years here. But you might have a sense even from this show. I tend to try to view things more with the positive sense of it. And because the action on the field and the eyeballs on these games are bigger and better than ever, I think it's broader. I certainly don't think it's broken.
Yeah, no, it certainly it seems like it's got some there's some work that needs to be done.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we're
going to continue to tweak some rules and get it to a system that everybody can kind of get behind and feel better about. And once it's lined up, if the system is in place for a few years without all these other huge changes, then we'll continue to see that the play on the field will be what everyone focuses on.
And anytime I'm watching athletes play in front of 70,000+ people, you better believe that I believe that they should be getting paid
right.
with the performance that they're putting on. Let's do this. Speaking of college football coaches. He knows he'd be a head coach as well. He played a decade in the NFL. What does our next guest think the Bears can accomplish in the playoffs? He's seen it all. He's Herm Edwards, and he joins us next. Judson and Big Ant in for Spiegel and Holmes on 6M of the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.